Welcome to the Healthy Fit Life podcast. I'm your host, Paul Hanton. Today, I'll be talking to Shannon Dentice, who is a master certified health coach. Shannon helps busy office professionals gain more energy, reduce stress, and lose weight without fad diets or extreme exercise programs so that they can prevent disease and have enough stamina to do what they love in life. Today, we'll be discussing sustainable weight loss and the importance of avoiding fad diets. If you're a fan of the show, please remember to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and to leave a review if you enjoyed listening. So let's get started. So thank you, Shannon, for hopping on this show. I really appreciate it. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Really good. Really good. Thank you. So let's go ahead and dive right into maybe talk about a little about your backstory and how you came into fitness.
Sure. I've always been really interested in health and wellness for myself, but I didn't go into that as a field. I've actually been a school psychologist for 17 or 18 years. And I've always kind of missed that aspect. Like, is there something else I could be doing to help others with their health and wellness? And I didn't even know what health coaching was a couple of years ago, or probably, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I guess now. And I discovered it and I thought, wow, that's really a perfect fit. It includes my love of health and fitness. It also is a good use of the skills that I already have from being a school psychologist. So a lot of positive psychology and the counseling skills that I already have. And so it was a really good fit. And I took some courses, became certified, and started my own business. And here I am today.
It's awesome. I'm really excited to talk about a sustainable weight loss and trying to avoid those extreme fat diets, because those are still very, very popular, as I'm sure you're aware of. So let's dive into it and talk about sustainable weight loss. And let's talk about fad diets. So when we talk about fad diets, a lot of coaches, I think, understand that they don't necessarily work. But why don't fad diets generally work?
Yeah, there's several reasons, in my opinion, why they don't work. And one of the main ones is food boredom. So some of those fad diets, they really narrow down the foods that you can and cannot eat. So you have a lot of different rules, you could say. And so it gets really tiring to eat the same thing over and over and over again. Right. And then you eventually give in to those cravings that you have because you're just so sick of eating the chicken and vegetables every night and right. You want something else.
One thing maybe we could talk about is how would you describe a fad diet or classify it as a fad diet?
Yeah, it can be classified in a lot of different ways. A lot of the things that I weigh into that are, is it sustainable? So is it something that's very limiting? And like I said, you know, you're limited to only 5 different foods that you can eat. That might be too limiting. A lot of them, you know, I find are like juices that they claim that you'll lose 30 pounds in a month or something like that. Something that's really hyped up and it, you know, kind of gives you maybe like a miracle feel to it, like you're going to lose a bunch of weight really quickly or that sort of thing. Is that what comes to mind too for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the first things you said about sustainability, that those fad diets are usually, in my mind, unsustainable and very restrictive, mm-hmm. right? Those are kind of the few factors about the make a fad diet. They're also very pop up and then they go away, right? And so there's been numerous diets over the years that have kind of popped up and then they just disappear, right? Because they're just short-term literally fads, right? So like Atkins, you know, Atkins was really popular. Maybe people still use Atkins, but that kind of blew up and then, you know, now it's kind of gone away. So that's how I kind of classify as a fad diet is, again, like you said, it is sustainable and very restrictive as well.
Mm-hmm. I also become concerned about the lack of nutrients too, right? So if you're on something that's so limiting, are you getting the fuel that your body needs to build muscle and to keep moving and all those things that you really do need to maintain your weight loss in the long run?
That's a fantastic point. I think some fad diets are focused solely on weight loss, but they're not focused on health, right? So they're focused on losing, you know, 20 pounds, but not, okay, are you actually healthy while you're losing weight? Are you getting all the nutrients you need, like you mentioned? Mm-hmm. That's a whole other, those are also important factors. And I think it's fine if someone wants to lose weight, but there's also other things you got to take into consideration other than just watching the weight fall off the scale, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So when it comes to sustainable weight loss, what are some things people can do to lose weight in a sustainable and healthier fashion like we just talked about?
Yeah, this is something people have probably heard a lot, but one of the top things I recommend is starting small And sometimes that's smaller than what you think. You think, okay, I might already be starting small, but if it's not working for you, sometimes it's helpful to start even smaller. And what I mean by that is, for example, if you want to become a runner in the morning and it's hard for you to get up from bed and you try to do that and start running all at the same time, it can be really tricky and it can be overwhelming for you to sustain. So maybe you'll want to start by practicing getting up 10 minutes earlier and then add on another 10 minutes. And then eventually, hopefully your body will be a little bit more used to getting up earlier. And then you can start adding in the running. That might be a better step for people who try it and they're like, oh, no, running in the morning is not for me. Well, maybe if you try it by stages, maybe that would help a little bit.
Yeah. So taking those that baby step approach mm-hmm. to whatever goal you have. And I completely agree with you. And you know, I think you hear those, the mm-hmm. couch to 5K, right? But they don't mean literally get off the couch and go run 5K. It's there are steps you take with that, right?
Can't there's some people that can do that, but not most
of us. Some people can. Yeah. Yeah. When I started bodybuilding, I just dove right into it, going to the gym 5 days a week and eating a really restrictive diet. But I was also in the Marines, so it worked out really well for me. But that's not the approach I take with any client, right? There's no way that most people can do that. And I think a good coach, like, you know, like yourself, is aware of that, right? You're not going to just mm-hmm. throw your clients into the fire and expect them to do, you know, extreme things. You're going to walk them up. So, and that's something I wanted to ask you about is how would someone kind of baby step the nutrition aspect as well, so they're not going 0 to 100 on the nutrition portion?
Yeah, a very similar concept. One thing that I've recommended to clients, because it can be really overwhelming to overhaul your breakfast, your lunch, dinner, and snacks.
Right.
So maybe just pick the lower hanging fruit of your meals. Maybe breakfast is the easiest for you to prepare. Start there and start really making some changes with what you eat for breakfast. Instead of donuts, maybe you'll try some eggs or something else and, you know, a little bit of fruit for some fiber. But instead of trying to change up your whole menu all at once would be a good way to start. Or, you know, something small, like maybe you consistently drink a couple of sodas each day. Maybe replacing one of those with something else would be a really good baby step.
Absolutely. I have a client that was doing that with him that pretty recently is trying to reduce the, you know, 3 or 4 cups of coffee and the sodas and just try to substitute more water. Not making drastic changes of you cannot have these things, but just less of the soda and the alcohol and the coffee, and then more of the water, right? And mm-hmm. so they're not, or we're not telling someone that they can't do something, but they're just making little healthier decisions in their life.
Mm-hmm. And the nice thing is, you know, if caffeine is a big barrier to making those changes,
it is. Yeah.
I've never tried. I know they have more products out on the market right now where they have water that has caffeine in it. So maybe that kind of help bridge the gap. I've never tried it. I don't know what it's like, but I've seen people drinking it. So
And I think that's, again, that goes up to your original point of just taking baby steps of looking for ways to not make wholesale big changes, but just small changes and building on from there. So I love the example about breakfast, right? And just instead of focusing on swapping out breakfast, lunch, and dinner, just focusing on one meal or just maybe one component of a meal, right? And then building on from there.
I would take it even a step further. I think when people are making changes, we talked a little bit about this already with jumping in without, you know, jumping in full force. But I think a lot of people miss the planning and preparation stage. It's okay to take one step back from that even before you take action and make sure that you're maybe on Pinterest, you're pinning some recipes that you think would be realistic and healthy for you to make, or, you know, making sure you're marking time off in your schedule to meal prep or grocery shop so that you are ready to go. And so that you kind of have your brain mentally prepared to, like, this is what I'm going to start to do. And it should make it a little bit easier for you to actually take action if you're taking some time to plan.
Now, planning is really crucial, right? To success. Another client of mine, of getting him to understand that sometimes ahead and has those meals, those healthy meals ahead of time, he's less likely to swing by the drive-thru because it's convenient. So I agree, it does take some planning and preparation beforehand, the success for success.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you help your clients kind of plan? Do you have, like, how do you help them plan their meals so that they're set up for success?
Well, it depends on the client's preferences and values. Some people are like, you know, still paper pencil planning people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it's something they have stuck up on the refrigerator with a marker and they kind of plan it out there. Some people, you know, maybe more digital. But again, I think it comes back to what their goals are and how small we need to start. So, you know, maybe I would help them kind of figure out too, like some ideas, because a lot of people are overwhelmed. There's so many different recipes and websites and ideas out there. So maybe narrowing it down to like what they like, what they would be willing to try, what are absolute no-nos for them, things that, oh, there's no way I would ever eat that. And then help them find some ideas or help them get some tools where you can narrow down recipes really well. I know there's a few different databases out there where you can plug in the type of cuisine you're looking for, what ingredients you want to include and don't want to include. I believe Taste of Home is a good one that has that, those options as well. I'm sure there's others, but that can just kind of help them decrease the overwhelm.
I think that's a great point about the tools, right? Tools aren't very helpful. So the planning, and tools can just add, enhance that and add to that and make your journey even easier, right? Even if it's just a pen and paper, you know, it's better than nothing, but any sort of tool that you can have in your life to help you is going to make your journey way easier, right?
Mm-hmm. For anything, you know, not just health and wellness, but all parts of life.
And then, so let's talk about sustainable weight loss, right? Because that's a very common goal for a lot of people, is they want to lose weight. There's a lot of information out there on, you know, how quickly you should be losing weight, or, you know, it's like 1 pound a week or 2 pounds a week or 1.5 pounds a week. But in your mind, what does sustainable weight loss actually look like?
For me, I would describe it as maintaining a weight. It's normal to go up and down a little bit. You know, we all gain and lose a few pounds here and there, but keeping the trajectory pretty level. But I think it's also the avoidance of yo-yo dieting. So again, back to a lot of those fad diets or, you know, trying things that are more extreme and can't be maintained over time can lead to yo-yo dieting where you're, oh, yay, I lost 50 pounds. Uh-oh, I gained 60 back. I lost, you know, it's back and forth, which is really hard on your body. So I think it's also the absence of that. It's being able to move forward and to be able to socialize and live a normal life with the holiday season coming up, you know, finding ways that you can still enjoy yourself, but also you're able to not go overboard and, you know, eat every single last Christmas cookie or something like that.
Yeah. So they're talking about kind of what you're referring to is having a healthy balance in your life while still being able to accomplish your weight loss goals. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree. Sure. Yeah. And I think that's, you brought up a couple of key points. So it's sustainable. It's not just a month or 2 months. It's, you know, ideally for very, very long, for the rest of your life, right? When you look at your health, it's not something you just do for a short period. It should be for a long period of time, right? Your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at I may have a great point with those fad diets, is very short term in duration, right? You accomplish a goal and then you might snap back, right? And gain the weight back pretty quickly because that's just not sustainable, right? And then you're kind of going through this, like I said, a yo-yo dieting phase. So what are some ways that people can get out of the rut of yo-yo dieting and get back to a sustainable or go to a sustainable way to lose weight?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say someone's stuck in that yo-yo dieting, going back and forth.
I think a lot of times it's that mindset that it has to be all or nothing. So I do is I help my clients out of that, and you're nodding and saying, yep. So I'm sure that's the same thing as a trainer where you don't always have to go for, you know, 10 mile runs to have an effective workout. And the same thing with your eating. You don't have to only eat vegetables and fish or, you know, lean protein 100% of the time. So helping them realize it's almost like an obsession, I think, for some. And actually, I used to be there personally where I thought that it meant to work out. I had to go to the gym and I had to be there for, you know, an hour and a half and I had to do lots and lots of cardio. But helping them realize that finding something you enjoy is key, because then you're going to keep doing it. You're better off going for walks that you are willing to do rather than being on the couch. Oh, I should be getting up right now to go for a run, but no, you know, where does that get you? So it's helping them change their thinking a little bit on some things and overcome that all or nothing thinking.
Yeah, and I love what you said about the enjoyment piece, right? That's real. I found that to be extremely crucial for myself and for anyone that I noticed that is able to stay on this journey with their health, is that they enjoy it, right? And, you know, I think that's pretty key. And you brought up a great point to us that, you know, I think running is great. I don't like it. With the Marines, I stopped running, but being forced to do something that you don't enjoy, it's only going to be done in a short-term duration. You will not be able to sustain that for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for me, you know, I don't jump up and down with excitement when I need to do strength training, but I try to do it 2 to 3 times a week, strength training. But otherwise, I try to do stuff that I enjoy, such as going for walking or dancing or something like that. It's okay, you know, every once in a while to try to do something that you don't like to do. You know, you tell yourself why you need to do it. And for me, I have osteoporosis in my family. So it's keeping my bones strong. It's, you know, I'm in my early 40s. And as you age, you start to lose your muscle mass a little bit easier. So things like that. And then I'll play a mind trick with myself and say, oh, I'm just going to do it for 5 or 10 minutes. And then if I want to stop at that point, I will. And more often than not, it's that getting started that's the hardest part. And so I'll continue for half an hour to 45 minutes, no problem.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to find balance in your life and for anyone's life, really. It's just, I think one of a great point is just ask yourself why you're doing something. Are you doing it? Are you forcing yourself to do it because you feel like you have to do it? Or are you doing it because you want to do it, or you want to improve something in your life? You brought up strength training, and you know, you do it for a couple of reasons, but you don't go all out on strength training, right? And sling away, trying to force yourself to like something and spending hours in the gym. You do it in moderation. You do other things as well that you also enjoy, which is kind of that, found that balance in your life.
Mm-hmm. It's super important.
I agree. Yeah. It took me a while to get there, but I completely agree. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to, we haven't talked about exercise too much, but when it comes to your clients, how do you help them get activity in their life without having them go spend a lot of time on, you know, in the gym or running? How do you get them to, you know, be more active or include activity in their life that they're actually going to enjoy?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I work with busy professionals mostly. And so it's always that time factor. So I'm so glad that you brought that up. But it doesn't have to be, you know, great workouts are great if you can do a workout for, you know, an extended period of time, like a half an hour to an hour or whatever it is. But it doesn't necessarily have to be. And there's a lot of studies that show that even if you have that one regular workout and you sit the rest of the day, that's still detrimental to your health. And so even if you do that half an hour continuous exercise or more, getting up throughout the day is really important and energizing. And, you know, it helps that afternoon head nod at your desk where you feel like you're going to fall asleep. But just even having them find ways in their office that they can move. Maybe it's bringing your walking shoes and putting them under your desk so that you can take a lap around the office or outside when you have a 5-minute break. I like to tell people to get some of those exercise resistance bands because you can bring them anywhere and they're so lightweight. They don't take up room. You know, you can just do some arm curls in your office, you know, to get a little bit of movement in and just being creative throughout the day. And it can be hard to remember to do at first, just like starting any other habit, but, you know, doing some habit stacking by pairing it with something you already do. Every time you get up to use the restroom, maybe you take an extra couple minute walk around the office area or outside, and then eventually it will become second nature.
Yeah, I think that's a really excellent point about going to the gym an hour, great. But then you spend the rest of the day sitting in your chair in office on meetings, which is just detrimental to your health. And so walking, like you said, is a fantastic activity that anyone can do. You take the dogs for a walk, take the baby for a walk in the stroller. You can go walk around the office, go walk around outside. I think walking is a very underrated activity that a lot of people kind of sleep on, right? They don't realize how beneficial getting your steps in throughout the day, not just at one time, but throughout the day can be. And so the last thing I wanted to bring up or ask you about, you mentioned time as a huge obstacle. So when it comes to your clients who are really busy, how do you help them find time or prioritize health when they're really, really busy? Because I know time is a very common obstacle for busy professionals.
Well, and when my clients are open to it, I like to do kind of like a time analysis to maybe take a weekday and then a weekend day or two and write down everything that they do. And then we do a values exercise where we look at their values and see if there's anything that they have in their life. Of course, there's the things that you have to do that you don't enjoy, right? So there's chores and errands and things that you have to do as an adult. But are there other things that are taking up your time that you can either find a way to reduce, or is it something that just doesn't mean anything to you and it just became a habit and that you can replace it with something else? So I think that's a good thing to do, and it can be a really big eye opener. And I'm not perfect. There's a game that I'm a little bit addicted to on my phone. So I know that's an area that I can work on as well. We all have something. You know, like I said before, we were talking about just taking small steps. So it doesn't have to be hours and hours that you spend, little amounts of exercise, or just, you know, making one meal change or getting 10 more minutes of sleep, whatever it is, can really add up and make a big difference on weight loss or health or whatever it is you're wanting to achieve.
I think that's a really great point. It's helping them go through their values, and there are things in their life that they're going to have to do, but you know, there are also some things that maybe they can shift around or find other time. So speaking of time, so one thing I wanted to make sure we get to is you mentioned that you have a program coming that you wanted to, that you're running, or are you going to run?
Yes. So I regularly do some challenges. I think this will be broadcasted after my early January challenge, but please stay tuned for other ones that will be coming up. However, I do run individual health coaching programs year round based on my ROC framework. Mostly I help individuals gain more energy, and that can be improving your sleep. It can be reducing stress. And then I also help busy professionals again with weight loss and maintaining that weight loss. So, and what's interesting is a lot of people come to me for those things, but we end up coaching on other things because people right. might not be satisfied with their job. And so right. maybe there's some things with that that we work through, or maybe they have some social relationships that are making it really hard for them to make some of these changes because they feel like they don't have anything healthier, or maybe sleep's getting in the way of their weight loss and they don't realize how important that is. So if you're struggling and you know, you've been trying to lose weight on your own or sleep better, get more energy, reduce stress, and you've never tried health coaching before, I would invite you to have a conversation with me and get curious and find out, you know, the difference that health coaching can make in your life. I love what I do and I love helping people, and it's really life-changing. I've seen some really great changes from some of my clients, and I really love to work with you.
That's fantastic. You made a great point though about how things are interconnected, right? So your sleep, your mental health, your mental health, your performance on the job, at work, those are all interconnected. And so I think that's fantastic that you're able to take that holistic approach with your clients and not just help them out with, you know, nutrition and exercise, but all the other things that go into health, which make you help people a healthy person. So I think it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
So Shane, I really appreciate you hopping on this show, and I'll definitely include your contact information in the podcast notes. But again, I really appreciate you coming on the show and speaking on sustainable weight loss and how to avoid extreme dieting.
Sounds great. I enjoyed the time. Thank you for having me.
So that wraps up today's episode. Thank you very much for listening, and make sure to check out Shannon and the social media links in the podcast notes. If you're a fan of the show, please remember to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes, and to leave a review if you enjoyed listening. Until next episode, take care of yourselves. Remember, the best project you'll ever work on is you.